Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll be reading three verses of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, 6, and 7 of 1 Peter 5. Maybe you don't have a Bible this morning, maybe there's somebody next to you, you can slide over and share a Bible this morning to see the Word of God. If you found 1 Peter chapter 5, if you'll please stand this morning for the reading of God's Word, I'll read verses 5 and 7 if you'll join with me on verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And let's pray. Father, again, it's so good to open up this book. Such a blessing to be able to come to your house. I pray, Lord, that put your hand upon the speaker this morning. And Lord, I pray we'd have listening ears and open hearts for what you have for us. Pray the Holy Spirit power would come upon, move amongst the mix of people this morning. I pray that you bless us as we travel home as well. It's special. Prepare our hearts in your name, we pray. Amen.
Different than you came. Lay aside those tattered garments that a life of sin has stained. Answer to the voice of Jesus calling out your name. And friend, you can leave here changed. Somewhere very near is a soul that's far away from God, living with a fear that no one.
The only answer for a sinner, Jesus saves the lost.
Love abounds, new life is found in the power of the cross. You can leave here changed, so much different than you came. Lay aside those tattered garments that a life of sin has stained. Answer to the voice of Jesus calling out your name. And friend, can leave here changed.
Sitting at the right hand of God, he waits to meet his bride.
Listening for the word, my son, go and get her, now's the time.
Jesus will step out to catch his waiting church away. Those in Christ will all arise, in a moment will be changed. Answer to the voice of Jesus calling out your name, and friend, you can leave here changed. Leave here changed.
Good song this morning, young people. Thank you very much for that. And so true. Good singing today. I want to speak to you from 1 Peter chapter 5. Brother Thomas sounds different this morning. It needs to be just like it usually is on Sunday mornings, okay? But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I want to speak to you on this subject, God's anti-aging supplement. God's anti-aging supplement. All right, let's pray together and we'll get into this. Our Father, we are grateful for the good truth that was just sung about there in the song. Thank you that the gospel of Jesus Christ changes people. Thank you for the day that it changed us. And Lord, we've been changed and forgiven and washed and born into your family. And one of these days, we're going to go through another change when we go to heaven and see you and given a new body, and on it goes. So Lord, we're grateful for the change that takes place at salvation. Help me this morning to preach your word. I pray that your spirit will speak to hearts as I speak to the ears. And I give myself to you for that end, that purpose. And I pray that it'll be good results in Jesus' name. And amen. Everybody knows advertising, marketing, big business. Okay, you know, we're coming again to Super Bowl season. and what's coming up here in a few weeks on, I think, February the 1st. And I read the other day where I think it was on Thursday, the 7th of January, whatever the day that was, NBC announced that they had sold 95% of the advertising space for the Super Bowl. So there's only 5% left. So if you're interested in advertising on the Super during the Super Bowl, you got to get with it quick, folks. And I want to tell you, though, when you get ready to do that, the cost for a 30-second ad for this year's Super Bowl is $4.5 million. $4.5 million for a 30-second spot. You've heard of making your minutes count? You better make your seconds count on that one. That's $150,000 per second. $150,000 per. That's up $500,000 from last year. Last year it was $4 million to advertise 30 seconds in the Super Bowl. This year it's $4.5 million. And they had sold 95% of it as of this past Wednesday or Thursday. Now, I get tickled. I do supplements. I don't go crazy, but I take some supplements. I think that the omega fish oil and all that stuff is probably good for you. But I get tickled when I get these supplement booklets and vitamin advertisements, when they start their big ad, anti-aging. And I'm going, serious? Anti-aging? Like, this pill is supposed to keep me from aging. Folks, the only thing that keeps you and I from aging is not a very pleasant thought. Seriously. The only thing that keeps us from aging is to die. And, if I'm going to live, I'm going to age. So it kind of goes with the territory. And I know what they mean. This cream and this product and this facial, whatever, will take the wrinkles out of the skin and give you a smooth, can take all the age spots away. It's bad when you get to, my grandson said the other day, what is that brown spot on your hand, Pawpaw? And he said, shut up, kid, man, what's the matter with you? So, but anyway, it's part of life. It's called aging, okay? And it goes with growing older, and I get tickled by these anti-aging. Now, I want to remind us today, as God's people, that we are all advertisements for the Lord and the Christian faith. You're a walking advertisement. You're a walking billboard for the Lord. I'm a walking billboard for the Lord. And one of the ways that we do a dishonor to the Lord and the Christian faith is by wearing a frown of care all the time. Those frowns, those facial expressions that maybe do create over time wrinkles. And we look like we're burdened and under the load and we're just not a good advertisement for the Lord and the Christian faith. I'm not making light of trials. I'm not making light of difficulties. I'll say more about that in a little bit. But folks, the honest truth of the matter is, I think a lot of that could be cared for if we would learn to practice the exhortation that Peter gave us in verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I love that verse. Now, Peter starts chapter 5 writing to the men who are serving as pastors throughout a large area, Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. You'll find that in the first of the book. He's writing to this group of people, these saved people in all these areas. And, of course, pastors are in that group. And so he starts in chapter 5 speaking specifically to the pastors. You see that there in verse number 1 where he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort." So he's talking to the pastors. And then in verse number 5, he tells the younger pastors to submit themselves to the older ones. You younger pastors, you need to learn from the older guys and be submitted to them. And then he says to submit themselves to each other, okay? Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. And so be accountable to each other. That's what he's saying. Be accountable to each other. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. I remember some years ago when I was much younger, in my 30s, and had been here for a few years at the church, I was a group of about 9 or 10 men that got on our knees. There had just been a rash of bad news pastors that were falling and getting going into immorality, and it was a horrible thing. And about 9 of us or 10 of us got on our knees in a conference room. We were there for a meeting for a ministry, and the topic of the day was all this mess that was going on. And we got on our knees and we committed to God, and we vowed to God and vowed to each other that with His grace and help, we would stay out of the stuff, we stay away from immorality, and we covenanted with each other. And we made ourselves accountable to each other. That's a very healthy thing. And that's what Peter is encouraging these young pastors to do. Stay accountable to each other and be humble. Don't get prideful. He says in verse 6, resist that being proud stuff. Okay, verse 5 and 6. And stay humble. And then he says to this group of preachers, he says, look, cast your cares upon God. Now, there are many things to care about as a pastor. I think I said here recently, or maybe I said it was at the service on Thursday night, that last Sunday was Alan Miller's first Sunday as pastor at Heritage Baptist Church. My brother-in-law stepped down, and Alan was the pastor last Sunday. And you know, I got a lot of phone calls prior to last Sunday. And I'm sure I'll continue to get phone calls. And there's a lot of things for a pastor to care about. A lot of things for a pastor to carry and be burdened about. And so God says here to these pastors, look, cast all your cares upon Him. Now look, even though it's easy for young pastors especially to get overwhelmed. So He's saying stay humble and stay accountable and cast all your care upon God. He cares for you. Now, even though this context may be written to young men in the ministry, it is applicable to every believer. It's applicable to every child of God. And every one of us can do this, cast our cares upon the Lord. I have preached on this before. No doubt I will preach on this again because it's such a necessary thing. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Sometimes difficulties come across our path. Burdens that are heavy. They can cause us to stagger under the load. They can cause us to fret and to have our brows creased with wrinkles of worry and despair. And folks, we can live for weeks under that load, and when that happens, we become poor advertisements for Christianity. Poor advertisements for the Christian faith. Now, I'll tell you what the world does not need to see. The world does not need to see some giddy, silly, immature approach to burdens and cares. But the world does need to see a responsible, mature approach to a biblical principle that is precious. And that biblical principle is verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What a verse. Now, when I read that verse, as I did ponder it this week, three things come to my mind. Three words come to my mind. Okay? Let me give them to you this morning. When I read that verse, first of all, I think of the word constancy. Constancy. Look at what he says in verse number 7. Look at the first word in the verse. Casting. Cast. Now, folks, when you read casting, you don't read that as one and done. The word casting is in a tense that is present, which means it's continuous. It's not a one-time thing. This is not a one-and-done thing. You know, I've got this burden, and so I run to the Lord, and I cast it on the Lord. He says casting. You know, if we're out driving, if you're out driving with your family on a nice day, and you go down 102 or 113 out here, and you cross, you go by Warner Bridge, and here's some guys, and there's some guys, and the little kids say, what are those guys doing? They got fishing poles and buckets. And, you know, the little kids say, what are those guys doing? And you say, well, they're fishing. They're casting for fish. They're not one cast and done. They're in the process of casting. They're casting and reeling it in, and they're casting and reeling it in, and they're casting and reeling it in. And this is what the Lord said here. This is the word He used. So this is a constant act. This is a process. We don't cast our care on the Lord, casting all your care upon the Lord. I'm going to tell you why we need to do that, friend. It's important to remember that and to practice it because some burdens, some difficulties are so heavy and so cumbersome that one cast won't be enough. One cast is not enough. Now, you know what? We are human. I got a call this morning from a very sick person. A very sick person who's not been at church for 2 or 3 weeks. A very sick person who wanted to be here today. And basically what that person was saying, I just feel so rotten. I feel so rotten. And I said, you know what? That is not God. That's Satan. That's not God. That's Satan. When you're physically sick, folk, and unable, now look, I don't mean your little toenail hurts, or you jammed your finger, or you got a little bit of a sniffle. I'm talking about when you're sick. When you're sick and you're too sick to sit. When you're too sick and you don't come and you don't eat it contagious to give it to everybody else. And it continues on and you get into in a little season of sickness. I don't think it's God putting you under that would not be God. That's Satan. He likes to put us under a burden that's not right. He likes to put us under a load that's not fair. Let me tell you something. We're human. And as humans, we are tempted. We are given to being overwhelmed by burdens, and we are tempted to be overwhelmed by cares. And even I know that there are some people who are less emotionally stable than others. But I want to tell you something. Even the strongest person in this room, at some point in time in your life, you have the potential to be overwhelmed by care, overwhelmed by a burden. And brother, when you and I get overwhelmed by burdens, we don't need to cast it on the Lord. We need to casting it on the Lord. Casting. Today, cast. And tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. I'm in the process of continuing to cast this burden on the Lord. I'm not going to do it one and done. Casting, casting, casting. You say, how often do I cast my burden on the Lord? Every time you start to get burdened down by it, you may be able to think on it and pray about it without being overwhelmed with care. There are some things that, you know, come our way. They're unpleasant. They're difficult. But you know what? We can pray about it and it doesn't overwhelm us. But when it causes a furrow in your brow, when it puts a tear in the corner of your eye, when it causes anxiety and panic to rise up in your soul, I'm going to tell you what the answer is, folks. You know, God has a supplement. Casting it on Him. Casting it on Him. Casting it over and over and over and over. Well, I just believe you should be able to cast it on the Lord and leave it there. Well, that's nice. That's very idealistic, isn't that? But let me ask you, how human is that? That's not very human, is it? Not very human. You know, these things get heavy. You know, we were not prepared for all that Scott had to go through this week up there at the hospital. And if he's come out, they just brought him out of the surgery, the coma, the medically induced coma this morning. Got him off the breathing tube. When I was there yesterday, he had 8 drips. 8. My heart just sunk. I just said, "Luck, I just prayed for him." I got there somehow. I missed Sharon and her sister, and they were somewhere else waiting for me. And I went right into the room and just stood there for maybe that was just of God, just some alone time. But you know, Sharon's had a pretty heavy burden, real heavy burden. This is her husband of 26 years, and he needs a heart. This process, I mean, he doesn't even have a pulse physically. He doesn't have a pulse. The pulse is in that box, in that battery pack. I'm going to tell you something. You don't one and done that. You with me? You don't one and done that stuff. You know, and when I prayed there, boy, their eyes were wet with tears when finally her and her sister and I got together, went back in the room, and every time and you wouldn't believe this. You know, I preached at that teenage service in Fort Wayne where the kids were playing ball on Thursday night. And I mentioned Scott because it was touch and go at that time. Thursday night it was touch and go. And I said, you know, I said, if you can remember, just pray for Scott. That's all you got to know. God knows who Scott is. You wouldn't believe how many people came up to me on Friday when I stayed, Joyce and I stayed for a few minutes at the ball game. You wouldn't believe how many people came up to me and said, "How's Scott? How's Scott?" There was 9 other churches there. And how Scott? How Scott? I was so thankful they were praying for Scott. So thankful they were praying for him. You know, and then on the way to the hospital yesterday, Brother Luke calls and says, "Hey," he said, "Jake Varvel, little 11-year-old boy that rides the bike. Remember Fred and Diane Varvel? Little Jake Varvel, he's in the hospital. He's type 1 diabetes, 11 years old." And so I walked in the room there, and here's this little guy laying there. You know, and he was in good spirits, but that's a life changer. That's Maddie. That's a game changer for an 11-year-old boy. You know, you don't catch that one and done. You know, and then earlier in the week, you know, George Feast is taking him up to Palos Heights because he can't. And he told me last Sunday, he said, I got something wrong with my eye. I had three tears in his retina. And they had to repair that. And then I get a text yesterday morning from Pete Schaefer. Some of you guys know Pete from football camp. And he's the referee. He was a friend of mine out in the church, out in his wife. He said, pray for me, my wife. They just found out my wife has cancer. And then I get Brother Jason text this week. Says, pray for Brother Gary Dice, pastor down there in Pittsfield. He's got 5 blockages. They took him in on Friday morning. Did a bypass, 5 bypass surgery. He's in his 50s. Gary Dice down in Pittsfield. And then I get, I don't know if you remember the Jurtbergs, who are missionaries in Madagascar, where Ben and Ashley are. They have 4 children, and Charity's got cancer. And they got to come home. And the guy that helps Ben is going out to the church where Richard and Charity are, so Richard and Charity can come home, because they try to help each other. And here's this lady, and got 4 little children, 10,000 miles away. Here's the difference, folks, in being somewhere. You say, well, why would they want to come to the States for medical care? Here's the difference. They had a test done in Madagascar. It was 2 months before she got the results back. And it's aggressive cancer. Do you know how much cancer grows in 2 months? Now, you know, listen. You know, these type things, all you got to do is just throw it one time. You don't throw it one time. You're casting, every day. You're casting, every day. Father, I give Scott to you. Father, I give George to you. Father, I give Charity Space to you. Father, I give Terry Schaefer to you. You're casting. It's a constant thing. Casting, constantly. Casting my care. You casting your care on the Lord. What a great verse. And I love the wording of it. It's not cast it and be done, because that's not human. And God knows us. He knows our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And so He said, casting. It's a constant thing. Number 2, I see something else in this verse. And I see a word that comes to mind when I read this verse is the word compass. You say, what do you mean by compass? Look at the second word in that verse right there in 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all. All. That's another reason why casting is present and continuous. If people had only one care, casting would be unnecessary. You'd just cast one time possibly, and maybe 2 and be done. But people have more than one care, more than one burden. And so the Lord says, casting all. How many of my burdens? How many of my cares? All of them. You know, it's not just health cares. There's relationship cares, and there's work cares, and there's financial cares, and there's child cares, and there's safety cares. You know, I was thinking about Richard Jurtberg this morning. I was thinking about him especially. And, I know he loves his wife. He loves her dearly. He's dropping everything to get her back to the States, to get her taken care of. But I know something about Richard. He's a missionary pastor. He loves his church, too. Now he's got to leave it. He just got to up and leave. I mean, there's no time to plan. There's no time to prepare. And there's people there that need his influence and need his help. You know, so here, and then you got kids. So you got a sick wife with cancer, and you got 4 kids. I believe 4, 3 or 4. And then you got these church people. You know, and it's just like, how much of that can I throw on the Lord? Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Well, say, Pastor, I got health cares, I got relationship cares, I got work cares. You know, and to be honest with you, I read the news this week, and I got safety cares. Somebody go over this world, people are dying, getting killed. This peaceful religion. You know, this religion whose end is peace. Right. Killing folks. How many of those cares can God carry? All of them. All of them. That's why I put that little word in there, all. And people, I think it's important for us to understand that what causes you and me to stagger beneath its weight is like a toothpick to God. He can handle it. And you know, some of you have lingering cares that the old year, 2014, you experienced the 2014 and you've continued to carry them into this new year, and it's time to cast those cares on the Lord. He is able to bear it. He's able to bear all of them. And I had this thought when I was putting this together this week. Do you know what is really amazing about not casting our burdens on Him? We've already cast the heaviest burden we will ever carry on Him. Say, when did that happen? The day you got saved. Because the heaviest burden anybody ever carries is the sin burden. Truth of the matter is, somebody could be in this room, somebody could live in this community who has no health cares, no financial cares, no relationship cares, no work cares, no security burdens. They have no burdens whatsoever, but if they're lost, they're under the heaviest load of anybody. Because there is no load like being apart from God. There is no load like the sin load. And the day that you and I heard that Jesus Christ went to a cross and died and was buried and made salvation available through His death, burial, and resurrection to anybody who would believe, the day that we heard that and believed and we cast our sin burden on Christ, that was the heaviest burden we would ever carry. And if He successfully carried that burden, He probably could do with all the others as well. He probably could make it. After you get saved, you get burdened by health cares, relationship cares, burdened by other things, and we're tempted to carry it ourselves. We gave God the heaviest burden that we ever could carry. Give Him those as well. At the compass is all. Then there's a third word that comes to my mind. You got the word constant caring. You got the word compass, which is all. And then I think of the word compassion. At the end of verse number 7, I love that little phrase, "For He careth for you." Now listen, it is one thing to realize He is able to carry your burden. It's something altogether different to realize that He wants to. That He wants to. His eye notices your struggle. His hand wants to lift your load. His heart longs to help you. The greatest thing about this is not that God is just able to do it. He wants to do it. Did you ever get in a situation where you needed help? And somebody offered to help you, but you felt like they were doing it out of obligation. Okay, here you are. You're out somewhere, you're over here in the Jewel parking lot. Since Ira works at Jewel. We're over here in the Jewel parking lot, okay? Because Ira's in Sunday school right now. Okay, but you're in the Jewel parking lot over here, and you get ready to start your car, and the battery's dead. And so you get out, and you raise the hood. And you look down there, and you know, you've got your jumper cables out of your trunk, and you're standing there, and you start looking at people. And everybody looks the other way, you know, put their head down. And finally, you realize, you know what? So, hey! Like, yeah. Hey, can you give me a jump? Battery dead? No, my battery's fine. I just want to jump. Battery dead? What are they saying? Don't bother me. Hey, can I get a jump? Battery dead? Yeah. Sure. And they'll come and do it. But it's all what? Obligation. Your battery's dead. Jump out of the car. Raise the hood. Before you can even turn around, you hear a motor running behind you. And a guy says, hey, you turn around. I said, need a jump? Sure. That guy's not only able to do it. He wants to do it. And I want to tell you something. God is able to carry your load. But better than that is He wants to. He's not doing it out of obligation. He's doing it out of love. He cares for you. That's Incredible. But that is our God. He is not only able to help, but He wants to help, and He cares for you. And I'm talking to some in the room this morning. I know some personally, and others, I don't know the situation, but God knows. And some of you are carrying a heavy burden right now. Sometimes it's because of choices that you made in the past. And because you made some poor choices, you know what? There are consequences. And you're having to pay the price of those consequences. But I just want to say to you this morning that God is not just able to carry your burden. He wants to because He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. There are some who are just in a season of sickness, a season of relatives being sick, friends. There are some who are in a season of work-related burdens. It's just burdens. They come. And because of this and because of that, and they just come. And if we're not careful, we'll neglect that little supplement. That little supplement doesn't come in a bottle. It comes in a principle. It comes in a truth. Cast all your care on Him. Get rid of the wrinkles. Get rid of the frowns. You may not go around, but at least you won't go around as poor advertisement for Christ and the Christian faith. So casting your care upon Him. For He careth for you. What is burdening you? Was it a good message for adults? Well, hope so, but hey. You teenagers, what's burdening you? What's got you burdened? What's got you under the load? What are you carrying today? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Constant compass and compassion. It's a constant process. Casting all my burdens on Him. Because there's one thing I know about God. Not only is He able to bear them, He wants to. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, thank You for this verse, this principle, this truth. And God, I pray that You'll help us to grasp it today. Run home with it and put it to work right away. Father, we carry too much weight. We carry too much burden. Help us, I pray, to see in this verse a truth that You gave us because You love us. God, I pray that we'd learn to lay things at Your feet. Your strong arm is able to handle them all. And more than that, Your big heart wants to. So God, we love You this morning. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for making it possible for our biggest burden to be lifted, the burden of sin. I pray for anybody here today in the room who's not saved, that today might be the day they cast the burden of sin on You.